Fight with the Yakshas. text 14. Ha ha karast daivasit siddhanam divi pashyatam atoyam manava suryo magna punya janarnave. Aha karasta daivasit siddhanam divi pashyatam atoyam manava suryo magna punya janarnave. Aha karasta daivasit siddhanam divi pashyatam atoyam manava suryo magna punya janarnave.
Siddhanam divi pasyata atoya manava suryo magna punya janarnave.
Word for word. Ha
ha.
Ha ha. Kara.
Kara.
Tumult of disappointment.
Tumult of disappointment.
Tada.
Da.
At that time.
At that time.
Eva.
Eva.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Asit.
Asit.
Became manifest.
Became manifest.
Siddhanam.
Siddhanam.
Of all the residents.
Of all the residents.
Of Siddhaloka.
Of Siddhaloka.
Divi.
Divi.
In the sky.
In the sky.
Pashyatam.
Pashyatam.
Who were observing the fight?
Who were observing the fight?
Hata.
Hata.
Killed.
Killed.
Ayam.
Ayam.
This.
This.
Manava.
Manava.
Grandson of Manu.
Grandson of Manu.
Surya.
Surya.
Son.
Son.
Magna.
Magna.
Set.
Set.
Punya jana.
Of the Yakshas.
Arnave.
Arnave.
In the ocean.
In the ocean.
Purport by translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Jai Srila Prabhupada. All the Siddhas from the higher planetary systems were observing the fight from the sky. And when they saw that Dhruva Maharaj had been covered by the incessant arrows of the enemy, they roared tumultuously, "The grandson of Manu, Dhruva, is now lost." They cried that Dhruva Maharaj was just like the sun, and that now he had set within the ocean of the Yakshas. Srila Prabhupada's purport. In this verse, the word manava is very significant. Generally, this word is used to mean human being. Dhruva Maharaj is also described here as manava. Not only is Dhruva Maharaj a descendant of Manu, but all human society descends from Manu. According to Vedic civilization, Manu is the lawgiver. Even today, Hindus in India follow the laws given by Manu. Everyone, therefore, in human society is a manava, or descendant from Manu. But Dhruva Maharaj is a distinguished manava because he is a great devotee. The denizens of the planet Siddha Loka, where the residents can fly in the sky without airplanes, were anxious over Dhruva Maharaj's welfare in the battlefield. Srila Rupa Goswami says, therefore, that not only is a devotee well protected by the Supreme Lord, but all the demigods and even ordinary men are anxious for his security and safety. The comparison given here that Dhruva Maharaj appeared to merge in the ocean of the Yakshas is also significant. When the sun sets on the horizon, it appears that the sun drowns in the ocean, but factually the sun has no difficulty. Similarly, although Dhruva Maharaj appeared to drown in the ocean of the Yakshas, he had no difficulty. As the sun rises again in due course at the end of night, so Dhruva Maharaj, although he might have been in difficulty, in parentheses Prabhupada writes, because after all, it was a fight, and in any fighting activities there are reverses. And the parentheses, that did not mean that he was defeated. Om Agyana Timirantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Nama Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvitam Sabadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lavita Shri Vishakan Vitam He Krishna Kuruna Sindha Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Ha ha karas tadai vasi siddhanam divi pashyatam hato miyam manava suryo magna punya janarnave. Surya Magna Punya Janarnave. Dhruva Maharaj is being lost in the crowd of the Yakshas who are attacking him. It is described like the sun setting into the ocean. It's interesting that the word used by Maitreya Muni to describe these Yakshas is Punya Janarnave. Jana means persons, Arnave means the ocean, and Punya means they're very greatly fortunate. So they were fortunate to have the brief association with Dhruva Maharaj, even in this unfavorable context of trying to kill him and fight with him. Just shows how any association we can get with the devotees is not ordinary. We should appreciate it so much. Even if our condition is so fallen that we can't properly appreciate or properly relate, still we get some mercy from that sangha. The background of this verse is after Dhruva Maharaj was coronated as king, his brother went hunting, Uttama, same brother Uttama from the beginning, who was allowed to sit on Maharaj Uttanapad's lap. the same Uttama later was hunting in the forest and was ambushed and killed by some yakshas. Then Dhruva reacted against this by assaulting Alakapuri, the kingdom of the yakshas, their headquarters. When he arrived, he blew his conch shell and they attacked him. The yakshas began to attack Dhruva. Dhruva replied by shooting 3 arrows at a time. And another pious quality of these yakshas, another punya for them, was that when Dhruva started assaulting them with 3 arrows at a time, although they were afraid and angry, they also praised Dhruva's fighting prowess. And in a proper Kshatriya spirit, they started shooting 6 arrows at a time. And that's where this cloud of arrows came in, which is covering Dhruva from. So Dhruva is described as Manava. He's a real descendant of Manu. He's a real man. We can be the children of our parents, but if we're really members of our family, we have to live up to the reputation that's expected of us. The son is to be understood as the representative of the father. Whatever the son does will impact his father. With that, with the right of being the representative comes the responsibility to do something valuable, to pay back the good fortune we've received. We can't ever fully pay it back, so we have the responsibility to try. Therefore, son, another name for son is Putra. He delivers the parent from hell. It's a humbling understanding that I can't fully pay back what I've been blessed with, that the best I can do is try. This ties into our spiritual life, because we can never pay back the mercy we received from the spiritual master. Definitely never, because he's the representative of Krishna, and Krishna's been with us through and forever. Through no matter how long, anadi karma pale, we've been in this karma, trying to enjoy the fruits of our karma since time immemorial. But Krishna stayed with us through 8,400,000 species of life. He's been with us as a baboon. And he's here with us now. And he will continue out of his causeless mercy. So for us to have this human form of life, to be in the family of Manu, is a heavier responsibility. We have the option. Animals have to eat, sleep, mate, defend. We also have to eat, sleep, mate, defend. That's all right. The bodily necessity is there. But doing it according to Shastra is the dictate of being a real human. In this age of Kali, though, it's getting so degraded. People will drive down the street, up and down the street. I've seen it every Saturday night. There's this useless activity. People will just rev their engine and just run down the street, and they're laughing. And it's completely useless. It's not even eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. At least animals will eat, sleep, mate, and defend. They'll do something useful. But humans, first they have to even be brought to that platform of, okay, at least just eat, sleep, mate, and defend. They're not even doing that. They're watching TV and racing cars. So they first have to be brought to the platform of Eat, Sleep, Mate, and Defend. They means me. I was also doing. So I have some vigyan about this useless activity. But what to speak of coming even to the proper animal platform? Then we have to. Then we can realize that there's a purpose to life. And we have some specific purpose as human. And Dhruva Maharaj gives us the example of what it means to be Manava, real human. His anger here is viewed differently in different parts of the Bhagavatam. At one point in the beginning, his anger was being glorified because he was not angry for his own pride. When he was a small child, his wicked stepmother Saruji criticized him, blasphemed him, and he became angry personally. This was then later he got purified by association with the Lord. Now, he's no longer concerned about personal welfare, personal dignity, integrity, or respect, fame, honor, glorification. But when his brother was harmed, his anger came out for the welfare of another person. So that's glorious. This is how we learn to interact in the spiritual world. Because in the spiritual world, no one is concerned for their self-interest. This is they're concerned for Krishna's interest. If we can learn to be concerned for another person's interest, this is a step in the right direction towards selfless bhakti. And especially if that can be dovetailed directly to Krishna or his devotees. Then by practicing that, we'll revive our natural condition where that's the nature of the soul. Amayvamsa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. We're eternally the part of Krishna, and the part serves the whole, just as the hand serves the whole body, including the hand, by serving food to the mouth, which puts it into the belly. And from there, it's distributed everywhere. Dhruva Maharaj's fighting with his brother was later viewed in another way, though. That due to his anger, he indiscriminately began to slay the yakshas, as we'll hear in upcoming verses. I'm giving a little spoiler here of what's coming next. And Dhruva's intention, though, but Dhruva's intention, even without going to the following verses, we knew from this point, the moment Dhruva blew his conch shell in Alakapuri, we knew there was going to be carnage. He was not looking for the yakshas who killed his brother. He was looking to kill all the yakshas. And this, although his intention was to benefit another person, he took it too far and became attached to the activity of killing in itself as a goal instead of as a means to the end of protection. He crossed the line from restorative to punitive punishment. In the judicial system, a criminal is charged with restorative damage so that he will not make the same mistake again, and so that other people will learn the lesson, and they'll learn by his example. Punitive damage means that on top of whatever damage, on top of whatever punishment we're giving you in accordance to the crime you committed, we're going to punish you more. We're going to make you suffer. We don't care if it makes you better. You're going to pay because we're angry. That's called punitive damage. This is officially codified in our law books. It's an actual thing. Dhruva Maharaj was going to punish the Yakshas on racial terms. This is just because they were in the same species as someone who killed his brother. We call this genocide. And so this is later it stopped. The Swayambhuva Manu himself, the one who's truly responsible for Dhruva, comes down and says, this is enough. These are innocent yakshas. It's not at all befitting our family. So here, when Dhruva Maharaj is called Manava, it's foreshadowing the future descent of Swayambhuva Manu, who's going to come and protect the dignity of the human race. It's significant that not just anyone came down and protect and told Dhruva. Dhruva already saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna could have come, Vishnu could have come, but because Dhruva was now king, and he was therefore the leader of mankind, he was being directly corrected by his local authority, who was his the supervisor of mankind, Manu. So we are also it's instructive because we have our local authority. We don't have to wait for Krishna to come correct us. We have someone who's looking over us. If we don't have that relationship, we will make so many blunders, and it's possible that we'll think that Krishna is pleased also. If that happens, if we do some nonsense activity for the pleasure, for the so-called pleasure of the Lord, or we justify it and say that I'm going to be pleasing the Lord by this activity, then we'll get, Krishna will teach us the lesson. Maybe not directly, maybe just through his external energy of Maya. And he'll humble us physically, emotionally, mentally, as our dear Prabhu, Jai Jagannath Prabhu, says, he'll get us busted up. And we'll be humbled. So the beauty of having the local authority is that you can learn that lesson without the hard way. Sometimes we feel that it hurts to be corrected by the devotees. And it may hurt a little, maybe a little pinching. Sadhu means to cut. But it's better to be cut than ripped. That's the situation. Devotees are very merciful, whether we appreciate it or not. So this whole world is Punya Jananave. It's an ocean of fortunate people because of the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Come down here and merged into this world by sharing Krishna with everybody here. He's made everybody fortunate. And it appears that he left, but he's still here through his movement. He's still in the heart. In the beginning of the Bhagavatam, on the first page, he writes a statement that the spiritual master lives on through his instructions. He lives eternally through his instructions, and his disciple lives with him. So, whenever we have access to the devotees, we should be very appreciative. They're representing all Guru Parampara. Goes back to Krishna, so Krishna becomes pleased when we serve the devotees attentively. Just as we serve the holy name attentively, we can serve the devotees attentively. Dadati patigrananti, we give gifts, we receive gifts also. We give prasad, we receive prasad. We give our mind and we receive their mind. To receive someone's confidential revelation of their mind requires a lot of attentiveness. It's a quality worth cultivating in day-to-day life, so that when we need it, we'll have it. Would you like to share something, Prabhu?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we need to, it's just not the quality, we need to cultivate that, we should be attentive, but we need to cultivate a character also, so that other person can come and reveal his mind to us. And it should be vice versa, that we should be able to reveal our mind to the person, to the thought process, and be ready to hear. Because it's quite easy for us to go on and on. But it requires a lot of patience to listen to other person's problems. Not the problems, but the, what I understand, the underlying principle of this kind of communication is faith, trust, to have a trustworthy relationship among devotees. And if a person has this kind of relationship, even with a single devotee, what I've heard and understood, that it can save the life of a devotee. Maybe we can discuss and seek guidance. Maybe mind is, if I'm sharing my mind, if I'm sharing the thought process, it means I'm seeking for guidance also. If someone is advising me, until I have the trust and love for them, I will never follow his or her instructions. And without following it, the discussion, whatever we had actually doesn't make any sense. I mean, it doesn't give us an internal benefit.
I feel like there's a lot more to say about this verse, but there's not time. I'm grateful that you've given me a little bit of time.
Thank you. That was nice. Thanks. So, my privilege.
Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.